And welcome to In-Game Chat for Saturday, July 13th. 13th or 4th? Which one was it?
Today?
No, for Con Air. 14th?
July 14th.
July 14th, okay.
Why would I know that?
You've seen the movie, I know. But that whole thing with July 14th. I couldn't remember if it was 14th or 13th.
It was
14th.
What whole thing was July 14th?
Oh, you know, when Malkovich's character was taunting Nick Cage.
I was reading his kids.
Yeah. My daddy will be home on July 14th.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But it was 14th. You're right. It is 2019, season 13, episode 25. I'm Scott.
I'm RJ.
I'm James.
And welcome to the show. If you'd like to get in touch with us, our phone number is 334-272-9228. Check out ingamechat.net for all the links to get in touch with us. You can find us on Twitter at InGameChat. You can find us on Facebook there as well. You can email us, everyone, at InGameChat.net. We're streaming right now on Twitch. Head over to Twitch.tv. Type in InGameChat. It's that easy. You'll find us. And join us in the chat room live while we are doing the broadcasts. And I'll do the little thing here to sync up my audio. Welcome to the show, everybody. There is plenty going on, and James here is joining us yet again. Two shows in a row.
Yeah, that'll be it. I'll see you like in 2022 after this. Too much. I need a short break.
You're about, 2 months away, I guess, from getting a Switch, huh?
Yeah, at this point. Yeah, I think so.
After that news broke this week.
Yeah,
that was I say it's odd. I don't know. Whatever. They do what they want. But, you know, a month out of E3, and it's like, here's new hardware.
Right.
Which, like, you couldn't tease that, or you couldn't say, we've got this coming, or I don't know. Why not bring that up at E3? Nintendo's pretty calculated with what they do.
I couldn't begin to tell you why or why not. Why Nintendo does any of the things they do vis-a-vis E3.
Yeah.
Or more to the point, why they don't do so many of the things. They've chosen their own path.
Mm-hmm.
They go their own way. I think... I don't think it matters too terribly. You could say maybe they weren't ready. That's possible, but it's sort of like it kind of strains the imagination to think that a new product launch, like the difference between one month and another,
mm-hmm.
would be the difference in it actually being ready to be announced or not.
Yeah,
I don't really think so. I think they just didn't feel like doing it then.
Maybe they felt the E3 disc doesn't have the pop that it used to.
Yeah, I don't know that they even care about that. Do they care about that?
I don't think they do. Yeah,
I don't think they do either.
Caring of E3 that they used to. Yeah.
They had people probably in suits who went into very big rooms with large tables that had lots of chairs, and they sat around and talked about, mm-hmm. we've got this coming up. Save it for after. We got too much to talk about at E3. Just save it for after.
To be fair, I didn't pay any attention whatsoever to their thing.
Mm-hmm.
I honestly can't remember what I was doing, but I was pretty busy. And I didn't get a chance to, like, watch their...
Yeah, Tuesday morning.
Yeah, I didn't get a chance to do any of that.
You weren't busy Tuesday, random middle of the morning on a Tuesday. You had nothing to do?
I mean, the others, I was fine. That was actually one of the few days at that point that I was busy. And I just don't care too much, you know? There's stuff I'm always willing to absorb a little bit later. And that's really the only thing I wanted to hear, because those rumors had been going around for, I guess, weeks up to that point.
It was something I was expecting to hear a little bit about. And honestly, I don't necessarily know the rumors were about something smaller as it was about just doing a redesign, which I guess that's what this sort of is. But it just seems to be in the same family, I guess, of the Switch and not really a redesign of the Switch. It is a...
No, it's the 2DS of the Switch.
Yeah. Yeah. Totally. And the rumor had been around for that, and apparently there is still rumor of whatever they called a Switch Pro or something like that.
Yeah, seen that as well.
That's still being talked about.
Which is all fine. RJ, you don't have a Switch.
No, I don't have a Switch.
Mm-hmm. You do, yes?
I do, yeah. Okay.
I would be really shocked right out of my seat if you didn't have one.
If I didn't have one, yeah. I swore, man... I did the thing that I normally do, which is like, man, I don't want to. It's not hitting me. It's not pegging me. It hasn't put its hooks in me yet of one of these new things that I want to go get. And I talked about that for weeks and weeks and weeks on end.
I remember its announcement.
And then I got it the day it released.
Oh, yeah. I certainly wouldn't have done that. I looked at it at announce and I was like, this is ridiculous. I don't like this thing. Mostly because, and I, you know, a frustrating part of this announcement has been, you go online, you're looking for some conversation about it, right? A little bit of insight, a little bit different perspectives, a little bit of thought on the matter from other people, or just whatever, to jaw about it. And as has been the case for a really long time, gamers, and to some degree, I think Nintendo fans as well. Nintendo fans kind of get wrapped up in the culture of Nintendo really, really hard in a way. We're not very accepting of this revision for several different reasons. But a lot of it is like, why the hell would I ever, because this is what I like, this is a stupid thing because I would not use it. Why right. would anyone do this? I wouldn't. Why would anyone? And as weird as it may seem, this like I have no interest. I don't even play things on my TV anymore. I'm sitting in front of a computer. I'm 99% a PC gamer. And the only thing I ever wanted out of a Nintendo console was for it to be completely mobile, because of, and I may not be the most common use case, but for me, for the job that I have, I'm a stagehand professionally, and I spend my entire life backstage waiting. In the dark, sitting and waiting for a queue. Mm-hmm. And I've been doing it for 20 years, and Nintendo handhelds have kept me company backstage for 20 years. And I that was like when I went back to doing it full time, my two crew members, my two assistants for this past season, each had one. And it just burned me up, you know, because I was like, I'm back to doing this full time. I don't have a handheld anymore. Mm. Like, I really want to get one, you know.
What was your last one before you went back full time?
The
3DS, right?
No, I never owned a 3DS. It was the
DSi?
The DSi. That's what it was. Mm. I got the DSi revision, which was great. And I still have. And still have played a little bit. But
Never did the Vita? Did you do the Vita?
I did, yeah.
You did do the Vita? Yeah.
I do have my Vita. And I love my Vita. And I cannot, as a side note, cannot access my Vita. Cannot access any of my Sony stuff, as a matter of fact. I'm utterly locked out of my account.
Oh, boy.
My phone with my recovery number on it died. Mm. Didn't have access to it. Didn't have a recovery, an emergency recovery code.
Right.
Because I didn't even think they were generating them at the time that I lost it. Mm-hmm. Have tried several times. Cannot. I have no access to my Sony account, basically.
Man.
Which is quite sad.
Possibly. You're not really playing anything on it or doing
But I would like to play my Vita.
We're great to be playing your Vita, yeah, exactly.
The fact that you have stuff from Sony, but you can't access it right now.
Right, I absolutely, positively have to get a PS4 again. And I knew this. When I sold mine, the Pro was just coming out. And I knew that, I wanted to get a Pro. So, I'll just sell my normal one. I don't have a need for this right now. I'll come back to it. I'll get that system later. So, going to have to get that sorted out one way or the other. But yes, point being, Switch looked perfect. I'm back to doing that type of job full time, sitting around, needing the handheld, want to get it. And then that's where the rumors started that there was going to be another hardware revision.
Yeah.
And it just cooled me off of wanting to go ahead and buy one just enough because I didn't know what it was going to be. So I understand a lot of people may not have any interest in this since it can't push to the TV or do anything like that, that it doesn't have the breakaway Joy-Cons or any of the things that supposedly make it terrible. It is perfect. Even the fact that it's slightly smaller is way better for me.
Yeah, no.
It's absolutely
smaller is what it should be.
Yeah, really, really. And a lot of those things they've taken off of it are things I just didn't care about in the first place. One of the things I hated about it was its ridiculous little tiny controllers. And, I don't necessarily care about... Actually, I fully do not care about playing with other people. I have no interest in it, you know? The things I want to play on it are not the multiplayer... You know, friends gathering around a thing in a break room or whatever. I don't want to do that crap.
There's no reason for me to play any of that either.
No, I don't want to do any of that. Yeah. I just want the thing to play the dozen or so games that it has that are clearly amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. Which is really what ultimately made it so good is the software support for this thing is insane.
That's fantastic.
And it's never what I expected. That is because it's never been the case with Nintendo to have this kind of software library, but it is it's really very, very good. A lot of it I've played elsewhere, but that doesn't really matter, you know?
No, I talked about that after having it and after taking it on trips or even just bring it. Sometimes I would bring it up here because I come up here very early to get set up in case there is any issue, so that I have plenty of time because we've run into it before where there was a problem and I am scrambling to get something fixed before we go to air. So I come up extra early to make sure. Mm-hmm. And I mean, nothing has happened for a very long time now for me to have to scramble, mm-hmm. but that leaves me with a lot of time after I take care of some other things to where I'm just kind of sitting around. And I would bring my Switch. I would prop it up here, use the Pro Controller, whatever, play something for a little while. When I would fly and play it on the plane, harder to do that while flying to kind of prop it up just because of the space. Me in an airplane is uncomfortable already. Mm. Me in an airplane with the tray table down is even worse. Mm. So hard to prop it up. What I came to find out and what I did talk about was that it's good as a handheld. It is not friendly as a handheld. I guess I could say that it is oversized as a portable.
Yeah, because I think of handhelds. I think of the only handheld I had really that I played with a lot was a
PSP,
Game Boy.
Game Boy.
The Game Boy. I had that.
When you think about that, that's
kind of like the textbook definition of something portable that can fit in your pocket, your cargo pants, anything like that. But
you ever have Game Gear?
I didn't have Game Gear. Okay. Yeah, that was a big clunky thing too.
Yeah. Or Lynx.
Yeah, I remember the Lynx. Yeah, that was a huge thing.
Also huge.
And that was the thing that was going on. As years went by, they got bigger and bigger. They got more, because they got more powerful, the graphics were better, the library was getting bigger, these things were getting bigger and bigger.
Well, the Game Gear...
Not anymore.
Yeah. The what?
The screens.
Yeah.
Screens.
The Game Gear was... Effort to make the screen bigger. The Game Gear was the answer to the Game Boy, and their idea was, well, let's put color in it, you know? Yeah. But, well, if you're going to do that, they're going to get bigger.
It's going to get bigger, yeah.
And so, you know, until, what, Game Boy Color, I guess, or the GBA Advanced, I suppose.
Yeah.
Which one?
Yeah.
Was the Advanced the one that was a little bit wider?
The Advanced was...
It went from being long to being wide?
It was wide. I don't know, about like that.
Yeah.
I suppose. Like 6-7 inches maybe.
Yeah.
And then the SP, which is still my all-time favorite Nintendo handheld ever. The little square dude that like opened like a... Yeah, the little clay was like the first little clamshell thing that they had. Oh, God. I love that. I still have the one I bought in.
Yeah,
what was it, 02 or whenever it came out.
Yeah,
I love that.
That was the only way I could play. I've always been a fan of Ghouls and Ghosts,
uh-huh.
and that was the only system I had that I could play Super Ghouls and Ghosts on.
Yeah.
So that was one of the main reasons I was stuck with that for so long. Yeah,
I love that one. Fold up and fit like right in your back pocket.
Yeah.
That was the convenience of it, man.
Amazing.
The Switch as a portable device does not fit in any pocket. That you have. It is oversized for a handheld. It is very, I don't want to say cumbersome. It's not, but it's a little.
It's not convenient.
That's a good way to put it. It is not convenient like that. The fact that they've reduced the size of this thing,
mm-hmm.
and from what I can gather from just images of people holding it, you know.
It's a little smaller.
Press images. I'm like, that's perfect. That's exactly what it needed to do.
Yeah.
And in fact, if they could make this thing dockable just to have the option, I would love that to... I would prefer that over the other one. I don't play a lot on the TV with it, mm-hmm. but to have the option to be able to would be great, but still.
Yeah, I think taking that option away is one of the ways it gets down to $200.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's a big deal. $300, like, it's, I can do that, but it gives me a little bit of a pause, you know? Bring that $200, it's a little more of a, not exactly an impulse purchase, but it's like, yeah, fine, whatever. I'll buy this.
Mm-hmm.
It's small enough, and it's a single, you know, it's a unibody design.
But the way you've already talked about, this is what I use it for, this is what it's perfect for.
Perfectly for me.
It is.
And it's, you know, I wear, you know, like work pants, like rugged style work pants, lots of pockets.
Oh, it'll fit in those.
It'll fit in the cargo pocket perfectly. Yeah. So.
Although I would say the actual Nintendo Switch itself probably would have a little stick out on
those
pockets.
Yeah, it would. No, I tried it. Yeah. I borrowed one of the kids who works for me. I borrowed his briefly just to like hold it and see how I felt about it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's overly large.
And it's a little big for that specific purpose. Yeah.
And they put a D-pad on it, which I don't get why they couldn't do that with the original.
Yeah.
you know, for the instead of just arrow buttons and whatever they did with it. So
yeah, I don't know. But all I know is I saw it, saw the specs, didn't see a single thing that turned me off on it. Better price point, smaller, don't care about, like, literally no interest in docking to the TV.
Mm-hmm.
None at all. Yeah.
I didn't look up
portable. You're not even thinking about that.
Yeah. Not, again, not for me. I certainly understand. But, like, it's fine. You want to dock your TV? Go buy a Switch.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's the regular Switch. It's going to still be there.
Still SD cards, I guess, for the memory that they're using? I didn't look. So, yeah. But, yeah, I'm thinking it's the same thing. Mm-hmm. So that was one. I looked over specs. And, honestly, for anybody who's considering this thing, because the price is cheaper or because it is something that's going to benefit you in the way that you would use it, such as it is with James, you're losing a little bit of screen size. But as far as performance, as far as what you're getting out of it, you're not losing a single thing. I don't think there's any sort of difference in what it's able to do.
Yeah.
You're not going to lose when you play Breath of the Wild, you're not going to lose, other than screen size difference,
yeah,
you're not going to lose any quality of what you're seeing, mm-hmm, basically.
Same function, smaller size.
It is. No, it's,
okay, it looks like it. I'm excited for it. What is it, September? Is
that September right? 20th, I think.
Okay.
Yeah, September 20th.
Yeah, even time's out perfect. I'll be back in...
Be here before you know it.
I'm not really doing anything. My normal work cycle isn't happening right now.
Gotcha.
Mm-hmm. And by September, it will be. So, it's like they made it just for me.
Yeah.
So, looking forward to it.
All right. Well, we're going to... I don't know. We've still got a few minutes here before we hit this, our first break. RJ, what have you played recently? What did you play over the week?
Played a little bit of Samurai Showdown, and I also played a little bit of Samurai Showdown 5 Special, trying to get back in the swing of things, because that's what the base of the system is going off of, really. In fact, it was said that if you played Samurai Showdown 5 Special, it would be warming you up for Samurai Showdown when it came out, and it pretty much did. There was some tactics and tips.
Samurai Showdown 5 Special is warming you up for the Samurai Showdown remake.
The remake, yeah.
That they released.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that was what they said about it. It's pretty much true, because a lot of the
I would think tricks, Samurai Showdown would get you ready for the Samurai Showdown remake.
Does it? Yeah. The Samurai Showdown 5 is the older game that came out a while back.
Oh.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know, man.
Yeah. It was all playing an older game to get ready for the new game.
Yeah.
That's what people were saying about it beforhand. And I downloaded it because it was on special. It was on a plus sale.
Was
like
it? Yeah, they had another flash sale.
Yeah,
they
had a flash sale or something. So classic sale or something like that. So I picked it up, started playing, and I was remembering some tips and tricks from that game that I could apply to the new game. And I wanted to implement that. And spent some more time playing, which I'm thinking now is the most troll-friendly game on the market now. It's Grand Theft Auto Online. I'm getting so much activity from people who are bored and have nothing better to do than mess up your sales and try to earn your profits in that game.
I tried to get into that. Like, when it first went online, it was horrible. And not because trolls. It was just horrible with connection issues, mm-hmm, with loading and everything else. It was just having... It had a lot of hiccups they had to work out. And, and apparently they worked them out very well.
Yeah,
but
they did. They did.
Far after I, you know, had lost my interest,
mm-hmm,
in doing that. Played through the game, was done with it, and I'm good.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, because the game really is for... Some games are just for story. You play for the story and the experience, and then you're done. You're not into multiplayer.
I'll see an update that they'll push forward as far as new content for the online stuff.
That's what they're
especially
working
the
right
racetracks
now.
Looked really fun.
Yeah, that's some what of the racing, but now. The one coming up, they're going to do something with the casino. That's a new update coming up soon. So people are gearing up for that, earning cash for updates and buying property in that. And
can you buy your own casino and run it and have people
use
it?
Well, that's what they're thinking about, because we could buy our own nightclub with After Hours. We bought a nightclub in that, and we could run the business through there, which is one of the best things they did, because if you buy a nightclub, you could have all your current businesses run through that, and you don't even have to manage it. It just accrues product over time, and when it builds up, you can sell it if you got the space for it. So I can get...
Take that aspect, mm-hmm, out of GTA 5 online.
Okay.
I mean, obviously keep it in there for that. But
yeah,
like, move that whole Not necessarily. It's probably a city management thing that that's going through my head right now.
Well, money management, business management, really.
Something right like that. Yeah. Take that. What am I trying to think of? Like, whatever, you know, they have Football Manager 2019, Casino Manager 2019. Yeah. I don't necessarily know that that's what I'm looking at, but something where I use those funds to pour back into not necessarily the building that I have, but also all the other buildings that I own. Basically, I want a city builder. But not where I build the city. I want the city already built, and for me to go around and buy property and turn it into different things that I think the city needs, that brings in revenue, then I go out and buy more property. Monopoly without the dice and
everything
else.
A city management sim.
It is, but not. Yeah. I don't want to build the city.
No, that's what I'm saying. A city management. You want to be like Chris Traeger from Parks and Rec.
Essentially, yeah. But I like that idea of like, hey, I'm going to buy this property and then other people are going to come in and use it and spend money at the casino. It's going to generate revenue. And then I'm going to over here and buy this building and make it apartments and have those people come in and spend money and whatever. You can kind of do that in some of the city builders now because you do get revenue from buildings that you put in.
Right.
But not in the way that I'm thinking. I don't have to deal with like.
It's still too much of a god game.
Yeah.
You know, with like actually having to.
I don't want to deal with dump trucks. I don't want to deal with city sewage. I don't want to deal with the taxes on the peoples. And, and I'm not want to be mayor.
Yeah.
You know, but.
Graveyards.
I like that city. I like that city management thing going
like
on.
That, yeah.
I like that idea.
Mm-hmm.
So, see, this little things that GTA 5 or the online thing would do doesn't bring me back in, but
no,
I'm like, that sounds fun.
I think the biggest thing, one of the concerns now is that are they going to still bring in those futuristic military vehicles like that, what's the thing called, the Oppressor that they brought in. Basically, just imagine a motorcycle, take the wheels off, and what you got left, stick it on a rocket engine.
Oh.
And add missiles. Lock-on missiles, in fact. Yeah, do that. So they don't want no more futuristic military. A lot of people don't like those because that's what griefers are using to blow up everybody's cargo and equipment, those Oppressors, because they're really fast, they're hard to hit, and they got the lock-on missiles, and they just can dip in and out anytime they want. And if you blow one up, they can recall another one in seconds. They don't have to have a cooldown on this thing. So they're kind of abusing it right now. But
oh, really?
Yeah.
Surprise.
Yeah. So, but other than that, they're thinking, are they going to bring another souped-up vehicle like that? And also, they're wondering, with all the talk about loot boxes and things like that, they want gambling in the casino, because that's what you go to the casino for gambling. But would they put that in there with all the scrutiny with people talking about the definitions of gambling and loot boxes and things like that? That's another concern that people have.
Well, if they put gambling in the game, I don't think they'd have to worry about the definition of gambling in the game, since it'd pretty much be gambling.
Yeah.
So... and no, I think that would get them in trouble pretty quick.
Hmm.
Can they not? I guess
we don't know yet. But see, the first thing we
probably
think
depends
about,
on what the rewards are.
Yeah. See, the first thing people are thinking about casinos for gambling. So when we get gambling,
right.
That's what people are looking for actually.
But if you're using the in-game currency and you can actually buy the in-game currency with real money, does that? I mean, you know, you get into these things. Does this lead to this? And now you know, if this, then you have, you know, actual gambling. We can't have that here.
Yeah.
It's probably something.
Mm-hmm.
Got to be.
People are already saying if actual gambling is not in there, they're going to be a little disappointed with the update. But we'll see. We'll see what they're going to do with
thing.
That.
They'll call that gambling because it's obvious that it's gambling. But, you know, loot boxes and everything else are like, oh, no, that's something else. That's something entirely
different. Surprise mechanics.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah, exactly. That's what it was. Surprise! Those are surprise mechanics. People love being surprised by these things. Yeah, sure, whatever. So I didn't have a.
That's actually true.
Yeah,
it is actually true.
No,
people do like loot boxes. They really do. They just don't like it when they don't give you what you want, or when they don't give you what you want soon enough. But they are fun. They are fun.
The theme for this week, I couldn't really figure out as far as. Some sort of theme as far as the games I would pick from, the titles or the mechanics inside or anything like that. So I decided to go with a composer. His name is Gary Scheiman, is his name, and he's done a lot of stuff. We're going to cover about six of the games, seven actually, of the games that he has covered and composed as well. These go all the way back to the Sega Saturn, as well as, not the Saturn. It was on the Saturn, but it was also on the 3DO. So it goes back that far. This one, however,
still
doesn't.
Works. Yeah.
This next track comes from BioShock Infinite, but not the main game, the DLC. This was the Burial at Sea DLC.
Yeah.
I remember it. I don't remember playing it. And it had a very detective noir feel to it.
Mm-hmm.
This one's just titled Elizabeth. We'll be back with more in-game chat right after this. And welcome back to In-Game Chats. This is from a PSP title. The title of the track is called Retribution. It comes from Resistance Retribution, which they made a handheld version of Resistance. I don't remember any... I had a PSP. I didn't do a lot with my PSP. It's about the same that I did with my Vita, which I had a Vita and didn't do too much with my Vita. Actually... The Vita really came in handy for me whenever PS Plus came into play.
Yeah, it's still,
and it's like, here's free games.
Yeah, it's still a matter of fact, the two games I bought on the sale, there's a PSP
version.
Optional,
yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Exactly, yeah.
So
if I ever get one, that'd be a lot of downloading in my case, because I got a lot of stuff off sales and PlayStation Plus and things like that, and almost all of them had the PSP set with it.
Yeah, that's
PSP or Vita.
That's the only way my library grew on the PS Vita,
yeah.
Was through... PS Plus.
Stuff you bought on PS Plus,
yeah. That's a lot of the ways that my library has gotten big on PlayStation itself, actually, is the PS Plus aspect of things. Same thing that's, I guess, going on now with Game Pass or whatever it is for Xbox and stuff. So, whereas before, my Xbox had... I had plenty of backwards compatible titles.
Yeah.
From what I had already owned. But actual Xbox titles?
Mm-hmm.
I have Gears, Halo, Red Dead. That's really about maybe it. Maybe there's two others in there, I would say, just to round it out to maybe I have five.
Is Tomb Raider part of it?
Part of the Game Pass thing?
No, the games that you actually have.
No, I never played Tomb Raider on the Xbox. Yeah. I played that on PC.
Because I bought a 360, and that's the game that came with it. It was Tomb Raider. So it was a while back, but haven't even loaded it up.
Yeah, so like five physical titles, and the rest are all the digital stuff that comes with it.
Yeah.
From the Xbox Game Pass. Actually, I take that back. I actually had a lot of digital titles that I got from... Remember when my Xbox broke?
Which one?
The very first one, the launch edition Xbox One X. Or no, Xbox One.
Yeah.
The launch edition... There was a thing going around where you would put your disc in, and it would start making this horrible
crunching noise.
Yeah. And I sent it back to them, and there was some confusion there, and they called me and straightened everything out and to get everything, whatever. They're like, here, we're going to load up your account with games.
I'm about to say,
I do remember that now.
I'm about to say, what confusion?
Yeah, I can't remember what it was.
I'm about to say, I turned the thing on. This thing's like eating the disc.
No.
It was about the repair and return.
It was about the repair and the return aspect of it, because there was some way it worded where it's like, will you send this out? We'll send you a new thing, or we'll send you this. And I can't remember what the whole deal was.
Mm-hmm.
But it was going to charge my car. I can't remember everything that happened, but I was like, whoa, this was not made clear to me when I did this. This was, mm-hmm. and I want to change the way it was done.
Yeah,
we can't change the way it's done, but we'll do this. And blah, and so anyway, it got all squared away, and yeah. I ended up with, man, what was that? Rise? Was that little yeah. Roman gladiator R-Y-S-E. Game? Yeah. Crow, was that Crow? That was Crow Team did that, I think.
Sure.
I think that was. There was Rise, whatever the number the Forza was at that time. I have no idea.
Yeah.
Rise, Son of Rome?
Yeah.
Crytek.
Crytek, yeah. Not Crow Team. Crow Team, Serious Sam. Crytek. I was thinking Far Cry, and I don't know why I went to Crow Team.
Yeah.
So I had Rise, Forza, Loco Cycle, which was Twisted Pixel. Maybe a fighting game? What was, did Xbox have a fighting game? Killer Instinct, maybe? I don't know.
Killer Instinct, yeah, at the time, yeah.
Yeah, maybe that's what that was.
Iron Galaxy, yeah.
There's a bunch of others on there that I got from, like, the launch stuff. And then the other one that was, I was more happy to have that one than the other one that was Zoo Tycoon. So, yeah. I don't know why that came up, what we were talking about, but... my games library. That's what it was talking about. TurboGrafx-16 getting a mini. I don't know why. Yeah. Everybody needs a mini.
Because everyone else is, probably.
Right? Yeah. Exactly. March 19th of next year, Konami is releasing this. I didn't know that Konami had the rights to TurboGrafx, I guess.
Yeah. Just bought it. Yeah, I'm trying to think of the game. I think we mentioned something about that earlier, but I was trying to think of the games that stood out on TurboGrafx, and I think the best one was Bonk Adventure. That Keith Courage and Alpha Zones, and
I have no memory of any of the software on the TurboGrafx.
Yeah, Blazing Lasers was another.
No, it was Bonk. Bonk was their
Bonk
was
their
Sonic and their Mario.
Bonk
yeah.
was their logo. Big headed caveman headbutts was his main attack.
Yeah, the games on it will
that's
be.
It. That's only three I know, actually.
Air Zonk, Alien Crush, Bomberman 93, Bonk's Revenge.
Mm-hmm.
I don't recognize. New Adventure Island. That I recognize. R-Type. Mm. Space Harrier.
Mm.
Oh, they're going to have Japanese games on there as well. Mm. You'll enjoy that there, RJ.
What? Japanese?
Some of those Japanese games, songs.
Yeah.
Dracula X, Gradius. So,
pre-orders that were on other systems. Gradius, I keep associating with Nintendo. Space Harry with Sega.
See, I don't know.
R-Type Arcade.
They're only selling it through Amazon, and the pre-orders start on Monday.
Mm.
For it, you can hurry and order because March 2020 is coming around. It's right around the corner.
I don't see it selling well. Maybe I've been wrong, but I don't see it selling well because, like, not a lot of titles I can think of with TurboGrafx-16. And I don't know if it sold very well in its heyday when it first came out either.
I remember it being released, and I also remember feeling like it was real expensive.
That and the Atari Jaguar? No, or Lynx. What is it?
Then again, at the time, everything Jaguar, felt real expensive when you're whatever age I was at the time trying to buy these things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everything felt, that's too high priced.
It was a Jaguar Lynx. I think it was a Jaguar.
Oh, somebody in the chat room says Konami owns Hudsonsoft. And they were the main developer of the PC engine that was in TurboGrafx-16.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where, yeah, Hudson's Adventure Island.
That I did know.
Mm. So... Rebellion, who's the developer that does the Sniper Elite series. Didn't you say you picked that up in the Steam sale?
Yeah, I picked up 4.
Yeah? Played any of it? Or
yeah.
No, good. I mean, it does the same thing that 3 and 2 did.
Yeah, for the most part. I didn't like 3 a ton.
3 had, and 4 may still have these parts, I can't remember, but games that try to... that make you do things that you're not supposed to do, or at least they make you do things that the game has told you up and then not to do.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I thought Sniper Elite was supposed to force you to be patient because you couldn't.
Well, no. It does. Running and gunning. It does until you're about to beat the level, and once you're finished with the level, some sort of cutscene happens that throws you into a firefight scenario.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Okay. I remember Sniper Elite 3 having that a lot, where I would clear out levels and then a tank would show up and circle around trying to find me, or a bunch of other guys would join in,
mm-hmm.
and they would know your location immediately after mm-hmm. cutscene.
Yeah.
And it was ridiculous. And I would die a lot. And then I'd have to play the level differently because before I would trigger that cutscene, I would lay down my traps and everything else. Whereas if you're just playing the level for the first time, you don't know this stuff.
Yeah.
But they force you into that, and I never... And 4 may have done some of that as well. I can't remember.
Well, so it was like 95% actual sniper style and then 5% Call of Duty all of a sudden.
Yeah, like, yeah.
Yeah, to some extent, although I got to admit, maybe 3 levels in, like 3 full levels. They're big.
Yeah, they are.
You know, they're real big levels with combination objectives and stuff. Like, I don't care. I'm not hiding from anybody. Like, unless I have to be stealthy, otherwise I trigger a failure.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't care. I'm just running around like the same way I am in Hitman for the first time through a level. I just don't care. I'm not interested until I know what the level has to show me. Partly because of what you're saying.
Yeah.
Is that I don't really know how the sequence of events are going to play out.
Surprise mechanics.
Yeah, too many surprise mechanics.
Yeah.
So I just, like, I don't care. I don't hide. I just, like, shoot everybody. Like, loud. I don't. And I think I remember 3 having a huge, I had a huge problem with sound masking mechanics not working correctly or not working the way I wanted them to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know,
you'd
how'd like
you
hear that? Yeah,
yeah. Well,
like, the generators like starts making coughing, wheezing noises, or the truck backfires, or like whatever it is, and you go to a little icon up on your screen that says like, you know, you've got sound cover basically, and I'd shoot my rifle and they'd still hear me. You know, I felt like maybe
even silenced.
Do what?
Even silenced with the generators and everything.
Yeah,
you got
yeah,
mask
yeah,
cover,
yeah.
Even
yeah.
silenced, they
yeah.
still hurt.
So it's like it just yeah. irritated me, and so as a consequence, I find myself just wanting to play through the level the first time,
mm-hmm.
like just without any care mm-hmm. whatsoever, and which is in its way a little bit harder. I mean, it's really, really hard to go through with 100% stealth
yes.
ghosting, mm-hmm. No bodies found or anything like that. But it's also really hard to go through as an action game. But it's better, I think, than 3 was at that. So I just run around. Like,
yeah.
And there's also the weapon unlocks and the upgrades that are tied to different incentives for your play.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like
yeah.
X number of kills like over this distance or under this distance or by this method or so on and so forth. So I don't know how much I care about that. I paid like $5 for the game. So.
Yeah.
If I just combat my way through the whole thing and don't really adhere to the spirit of the design, I don't care.
Yeah, you're still gonna get your money.
It's still fun. I still like sniping dudes. You know, their various bits explode in X-ray mode. That's fine. I enjoy it.
I think it's got a co-op feature in it.
It does.
It's got
which would
co-op
be
stuff.
Which would be really great. I'm
yes,
sure you
would.
Have it, don't you?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah.
And to be fair, actually, I think some of the level design is a lot better than 3.
It
actually,
is.
So far, I think all of the level design is better than 3.
I think we talked about this when I first started playing it again.
Yeah.
Was that and you and I had the conversation about it in chat about the difference in the level design and how?
Yeah,
I mean, they are immense.
Yeah, because I just got one. It was some coastal city in Italy or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
The whole thing's in Italy.
Was it daylight or dark?
Daylight.
Okay.
And it's like the first one where there's like the counter sniper that you have to take care of.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like in a tower somewhere, but you're in town. And it's like terraced hillside, ancient Italian like village. Like just fantastic level design.
And then there's like a, I don't know if it's a castle or a stronghold or something.
Yes, and you have to make it to the top.
Yes.
Yeah, just
I know what you're talking
fantastic.
About.
Yeah. Beautiful, beautiful level. Almost too good for this game,
mm-hmm.
you know? I'm really enjoying it. I like the game quite a bit.
Which one of the things that you noticed that happened was, and again, I didn't know this until it happened to me, was once I had cleared out the village and gotten a certain progress through the village part, in comes these tanks or armored vehicles or something that are circling around that you've got to take out again. So you can, by the way, you can, from that little village, there's a few people at the stronghold that you can take out from there. That, and their body, well, no, their, I don't think their bodies last that long until you get there, depending. But their weapons and stuff are still there by the time you get there. So, yeah, I remember that. You're still, I think you're looking for some art. Maybe that's one of the
first
side
half
objectives.
Of it, you're just looking, yeah, in the first half, you're just looking to make contact with a resistance member. I think that's as far as I got in that level. But regardless, really good level design.
Yeah.
Really, it's a good game, plays great, love it, super fun. Just do not care for the creeping around inch by inch in the grass to get a 100%. Like I don't care. I just, that may be in a different time. I mean, and I've played them before and cared an awful lot about that, but I just, I don't care right now. I really don't.
Yeah. No, one of their developers, or one of the guys that works at Rebellion, was talking about Epic Games because they had, one of their titles, I guess, Zombie Army 4, is getting released as an Epic Games exclusive. And he went, he was talking to GameIndustry.biz, says, generally, I think I would prefer not to do exclusives, but I understand Epic's position with it. And quite frankly, they are paying through the nose to build their store. All credit to them. It's fantastic. And we'll take some of that money. Thank you very much. They are an indie studio. I don't, can't remember who their publisher is. I don't necessarily know that they have one. But yeah, he was sort of like, eh, you know, that's a lot of money. Sure, we'll take that. And it's only there for a year. And honestly, their zombie army games were never the, like, that's not their, like, their pinnacle. That's not the, you know what I'm saying? That's like their little side hustle. That's not their main thing, which it was weird to see that that was going to be a an exclusive on Epic Game Store and not the Sniper Elite titles or their next Sniper Elite title or whatever it is that they're working on. I think they did, I think they did Sniper Elite 2. They went back and they redid some of that for VR.
Really?
Yeah.
I know they did a remaster of 2, such as it was.
Right,
it wasn't,
yeah.
It was a, well, it didn't turn out to be much. Certainly not enough to make me play it again. But they did something, right, recently?
Yeah, they did V2 Remastered. Sniper Elite VR. That's not what I wanted to look up. Yeah, I think they did a...
Sniper Elite V2?
Yeah, I know. It's
2012?
No, I thought they did a VR. Yeah, Sniper Elite VR. Okay. This was at E3. And it's PSVR that they're talking about. So yeah, that would be interesting. It works with, apparently Sony released a peripheral that you stick one of the Move controllers in. Looks like a submachine gun holster type thing. And that is your scope, snipe, that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. The gun, you bring that up to the helmet and it goes into your
scoped view.
Your scoped view. Yeah, exactly. Let's see, about 7 minutes left. What did you? Well, you've been playing Final Fantasy.
Yeah, I'm trying to catch up. I would like for once not to be so very far behind at the beginning of a new expansion. And it's only it's a week and a half now
since the game launched.
Yeah, technically. I'm not terribly far behind, but I've had a problem with every expansion release of, for one reason or another, usually different reasons. Of starting it and then quitting pretty early, and then coming back right before they launch the new one, you know, with all the excitement and the changes and everything before they launch the new game, and then trying to catch up, but people being like significantly far ahead of me, like I've said before, you can't, unless you pay out of pocket, which you can do. You can't skip the story. They will let you pay money
to actually skip the story.
To skip the story.
You can skip the story for a small fee.
For a fee. Yeah.
And what will that do?
It will basically.
Does it clear the I don't know the structure of that.
So I have done this one time when it was on a deep sale. What did that be, like $4 to skip the, so there's the base game,
right?
You know, the 2.0, A Realm Reborn. Then there is Heavensward, then there's Stormblood, and then now there's Shadowbringers. All the other stuff is whatever it is, right? And I've played through everything. I absolutely personally have played through everything, but I have another character.
Yeah.
Another separate character. Mm-hmm. Just because one of the benefits of this game is that you can do everything on one character. You really can. You can switch jobs and everything. You don't need to create a new character. But for certain reasons, I just like to have like personal hangups and a need to manage clutter. I like all of my Disciple of War, which is like physical DPS, to be on one character, and all my magic, which is my healers and casters, on another character.
It's the same thing too with any type of game like this in Final Fantasy. I want like different jobs and different types, but I want different characters to signify what I want to do.
Right. So
this
rather
one's for
than
this, this one's
yeah,
for that.
Exactly. So I was like, I'll roll this other guy and play him up. And I rolled this guy long, long time ago, and I just got to like thinking about how arduous, and I mean seriously arduous, the post script storyline stuff. Like each expansion has, here's the story, and then about every 2 to 3 months, like pretty much like clockwork, they release another patch which has another bit of story.
Mm-hmm.
In all the expansions, they've been pretty reasonable, really good stories and all this other stuff. But in the original base game, man, it goes on forever. Like it goes on forever, and it was fine. The story was fine. I could not. I knew that I would never, ever, ever be able to stomach playing through it again.
But you've done it before already.
Well, so yeah, I've already done it before.
Yeah.
But I also wasn't going to pay for the story skip because
mm-hmm.
It was like it was more money than I wanted to pay. You know, it was like $15 or something. But then as time went on and they add more expansions, they have different pricing models for different. You can skip A Realm Reborn and pay this much. You can skip A Realm Reborn and Heavensward and pay a little more,
mm-hmm.
and a little more and a little more. And so what happened is that
you still get those expansions, but you skip having to play through them?
No, you have to buy them separately. This is just the option of not having to play the story.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, point is, a super deep sale combined with the automatic price drops as they add more of them. It was like $4, and I was like, fine, like I'll pay $4 so that I don't have to play through it with this guy. I'll play through the other stuff. Fine, I don't mind. It moves along much better. This is much worse. So basically, all it does is it unlocks every dungeon that you would have had, unlocks every like etherite, which is like a fast travel point.
Mm-hmm.
Unlocks access to all the different things, puts you at a place where you are ready to accept the first quest of the new stuff.
But is there a negative to it?
You
know what I mean? You didn't get to experience the story, I guess?
If you didn't experience, again, I did, but if you skip it, there is a negative because you will not have experienced the main story,
mm-hmm.
and you'll be lacking a lot of context because it is very, very story heavy.
Yeah.
Like I mm-hmm. said to you, I think over the break, what they're doing in Shadowbringers is still directly referencing stuff that happened 5 years ago.
Mm.
So really then it's sort of on you to catch up on the story.
Uh-huh. So this sounds like if you don't know, you just don't know.
Yeah.
You're
going
to have to go back.
There is an in-game mechanic where you can watch every story cutscene and kind of click through the story and experience those cutscenes as they would have been.
Yeah.
You just will have lacked any experience in the gameplay.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one drawback. And the other, which is a little bit of... I can understand why they do it, but it's a little bit bad, is that just because you skip the story and you're ready to take on the next... It doesn't mean you can. Paying to skip the story only pays to skip the story.
Yeah.
It doesn't pay to level up your character.
Yeah, I was about to say, all the XP and experience points you get, you won't get because you just skip
Yeah, you're
that
just skipping the
here.
Story. It's still up to you.
I did not know that.
It's still up to you to level a character. Having said that, mm-hmm. in recent years, they've added mechanics.
Catch-up mechanics.
That essentially trivialize that kind of thing. You can cover that gap in an incredibly short order.
Destiny has done that as well.
I think Destiny, when I started the character they gave you like level 25 or 30.
Well, they started. Right. Well, no, that's the I know what you're talking about. Yeah. That's the ball of light.
Yeah.
Which I don't mind skipping a lot of stuff that I've already played twice on two other characters.
Yeah.
What I miss out on is exactly what James was talking about. It's not the context of the story, but you don't have that muscle memory of like the mechanics of the power of your character and what they can do.
You need to go off in a corner somewhere and spend a weekend trying to figure out your character.
Just be like, okay, I lay down this, and then I can do this, and then I do, as a hunter, I know that I'm going to throw the grenades, then I'm going to do my blades, and then fire off this or do whatever, It's the different stuff, and Titans have these other things, too, especially some of the maneuverability of the Titans with some things.
Yeah, I'm kind of slow with the Titan.
To get used to that. That's the only character, by the way, that I haven't done anything with at all, or created, actually.
That's the only character I play with is a Titan.
Yeah, me too.
I tried a Hunter and Warlock, but my style of play, it's just better for me to be a Titan.
No, that's fine. Yeah. No, beginning with last season that they released, they had a quest you could go on that would instantly drop gear at, I think, 10 levels below cap. Mm-hmm. Below 10 levels below what you needed. I say 10, it may have been less. What you needed to really start the next campaign. It would bring you up to where everybody would have been at that time. Mm-hmm. It wouldn't bring you, like the cap right now is 750. So if you joined in right now, if you joined in right now, you could get gear that would bring you all the way up to 700.
Yeah.
So that you could start the process to get up to 750. One quest would give you all of that, and that would be it.
And here I am at, like, last I checked, 350.
Same something thing. You pick up these quests at 300 or whatever, and immediately by the end of it, you're going to be at 700, ready to go.
Yeah.
So they've implemented that as well, and that's going to come in handy for a lot of returning players who come back when this thing goes free to play, coming up in September.
It would for me. So.
Although the problem with that, I say the problem, the way that's going to work is the fact that, yes, this is going to be available to players so they can completely get up to where they need to be, but all the new stuff is going to be behind the new content you got to pay for.
Paywall, yeah.
Right. You can still do stuff. There's so much stuff now in Destiny that's going to give you powerful things.
Yeah.
There's tons of that now. Mm-hmm. Tons of ways to get powerful gear instead of just random stupid loot from other missions and stuff.
I think it's just the same point I'm having. The only thing I didn't pick up was Forsaken is the one I didn't pick up. Then you got this other thing coming out. What's it called? Storm?
It's not Shadow Keepers.
Shadows all the way around.
Shadow something.
Yeah, whatever.
Moon's Haunted. That's basically what it is. Moon's Haunted. It's the Moon expansion. That's basically what it is. So we're going to take a break here, and we're covering the music of Gary Scheiman, who is a video game composer. He's also a composer of film and TV as well. But we're going to go back to one of his earlier things. This is from the game Destroy All Humans. There was an expansion for that called Path of the Furon, which Destroy All Humans took place in, I don't know if that took place modern day or 1950s. I can't remember.
I want to say 60s.
Well, this one took place in the 70s, the expansion that they did. They moved it up to the 1970s or whatever.
The game was set in 59 in the U.S.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Path of Furon was set, I think, in 1970s. Like 75, something like that, 74. I don't know. Are you looking it up right now?
Yeah. The game is set in the 70s. Yeah.
Okay. Nothing specific, but yes, it's from the 70s. Mm-hmm. That's why it sounds the way it does. We'll be back with more in-game chat right after this. Welcome back to In-Game Chat. This is music from a game called Torn. It is a VR title. You wouldn't tell from this. It is a. It seems to have a horror theme to it. The track to this is called Arena.
It sounds like the first thing in the world from horror.
I know.
It sounds like one of those artsy types, like maybe a Journey or what's the one, Gree?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Every other track that I found for this game was moody in the sense that it was very low tone, lacking of any sort of real medley. It was sort of atmospheric. Everything was atmospheric to it.
I was about to say, is it the it's not gruesome horror, problem maybe it's psychological or
seems to be. I mean, if you look up the box art or whatever they call it now, the thumbnail for the digital thing. I guess we don't really have box art anymore. That's sort of what you kind of get from it. So. Yeah, just before we went to break, we started talking about Warframe, and I had this in here from, I guess it was just their Empyrean update, I think, is what it is. Rock, Paper, Shotgun says it's Star Wars meets Shadow of Mordor. You can actually win a trip to space if you play a lot of Warframe.
I'll pass.
I would love it. Warframe is a game I dipped my toe in for just a little bit, and I can't remember when it was. Yeah. Probably a couple weeks back. It was definitely before Destiny went into their next season or whatever. I was doing nothing. Mm-hmm. You know, just trying to fill some time. You were playing it, James. I saw that on Discord or whatever, and I was like, you know, and AC Wraith in the chat room has brought it up tons of time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I thought, yeah, let's see what this is. Installed it, played it, was confused and also awkward, and was playing, trying to get my whole... I was trying to let it hook me in. I guess I still need to play more. I didn't think it was crap, but I also felt like I was not.
I was in the same spot as you because I was playing the game sporadically. I mean, why not? It's free.
Yeah.
When I bought my PS4, it was like sitting up there, like, hey, this is free to play. And I'm like, hey, why not play it? I mean, it's fun running around as a space ninja and all the things like that. But like you, I was confused as what to do because I played it sporadically. I wasn't consistent with it, like off and on here and there, which is the worst thing to do because by the time I got back around to it, something is updated, something has changed, new things are added, and I didn't have enough high level to get there, didn't understand where to go or how to get there. I saw these things about archwings and big weapons, like I don't have access to that, I can't go into space yet. Mm-hmm. All I can do is travel from planet to planet, and after we were talking about it downstairs, it got to the point where I'm still on the same planet, but there are so many jobs on that planet that I have to do. And I'm like, there's no way I'm going to finish all this stuff before I can get to the next planet because I'm not at a high enough level. The grind I'm going to have to go on to get to all these spots is going to be abysmal.
Yeah.
So
it's a really grindy game.
It is like a grindy game, yeah.
And it doesn't even hide it. The fans don't even hide it. It's exceptionally grindy game.
It's a grindy game, yeah, but it's still fun. It's not, like you said, it's not a bad game. It is
no, the basic gameplay, the core gameplay is very tight and very fun, very responsive.
Yeah.
I like it a lot. It's kind of crap to watch, which I think may be another reason why it can be hard to get into it. If you go look up a stream of somebody playing it, it's just like, what the hell is going
on? What is going on?
It's a bunch of crap on screen, and then people are acting like, you know, it's a bunch of crap, and sometimes the crap is not good.
Yeah, or like,
and why, or sometimes person, they say that, oh, this is amazing.
Yeah, why is this person flashing? What just happened here?
Yeah, yeah,
it's like the abilities. The abilities of the different frames that's on there. You don't know what's going on. Like I use a mag, so you don't understand why I raise my hand. All of a sudden, the enemy's like yanked towards me. All of a sudden. Things like that.
The thing is, free to play doesn't stick around this long unless
it's got something behind.
Yeah.
It.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and it's best I can tell historically, it's essentially just gotten better and better.
Yeah.
But it has gotten more confusing for a beginning player. And it's something that comes up all the time, the new player experience and new player retention and all this other stuff. Personally, the only reason I don't even know why this time, but I just put in the effort to read a lot, you know, figured out pretty quick that the game itself wasn't going to do what was necessary to really help me understand.
Mm-hmm.
Discovery and identification of things in the game are not great, so you really do need to reach to outside resources to kind of figure out like what the hell.
Yeah, because I picked up stuff and like, what is this for? Oh, it's building material. To what? You know, hey, you haven't discovered it yet.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll just stick it in the back and I'll probably need it later.
Yeah. And so it's kind of like why you should do one thing over the other, which things are priorities, which things aren't, how to move from one level to another under certain circumstances with certain frames, which weapons or whatever, like all this different stuff. I just really had to do a ton of reading. Mm-hmm. And at some level, at least the beginner level, it started to make a little bit of sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
And really, all of the great things they've added to it, from what I can tell, still don't really mean anything to me yet. I've only got like 4 planets unlocked or something.
Yeah.
And they just tell you, like, just open up your map. Open up your map. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about grinding. Don't worry too much about upgrading. Just open your map. Complete a mission. It opens up 3 more missions. Complete those missions. And then complete the missions they open up, so on and so forth, until your map is sufficiently open. Because until your map is open, you can't go grind for the materials you need to craft X, Y, and Z materials, or get mm-hmm. this cool thing, or see this cool stuff, or whatever. So just open your map. Open your map. Do the missions. Open your map. It's that simple.
Perks as well.
Do
what? The perks to your frame, like,
yeah,
this thing here, and you can only apply this if it's in the right, if it's in the same polarity or whatever, and things like that. You had to navigate as well, because
mm-hmm.
I was like having all these cards things picked up. I was like, oh, can I put them here? No, you can't. It's like guess
what?
Throwing this here and there, until throw it against the wall, see what sticks. Basically, that's what I was doing.
But I really have found myself super enjoying it, but got to the point where I would really prefer if my friends played it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because it's got, what is it, like a 4-man
I didn't know. I was wondering about that. That was my next question.
I think it's like 4-man co-op stuff.
Yeah, it's 4-man.
And it looks like it's just the perfect kind of thing for, you know, shooting the breeze, getting on in the evenings, not terribly high-level consequences, particularly for newer players.
Mm-hmm.
You just get on, you do a bunch of missions together, and are stupid together.
Mm-hmm.
And unlock things and do things in a group because it's fun. Yeah. And you blow stuff up together.
Yeah.
And it's great. I personally enjoy it quite a bit. I think the aesthetic is super weird, and I really like it. And it's different enough in its own way that it kind of mm-hmm. stands out. You know, it's one of those games that, like you say, is a free-to-play game. By rights, should have been dead years ago.
Yeah.
But evidently their moneyed mechanics aren't too onerous, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much anything in the game you can get through grinding, you can get through with money, if that's what you want to do.
Yeah.
I haven't spent any real money in it yet. No, that's not true. I think right before I stopped playing, I came up against like one of the first times I thought about spending real money, and mm-hmm. that was for extra equipment space.
Yeah.
Because I had kind of for no good reason, convinced myself that I wanted to have a bunch of different weapons.
Another loadout, you mean, or
no? Like literally enough space to hold. Because I wound up crafting like half a dozen different things.
Okay.
You know, I had a bunch of guns and a bunch of melee weapons because mm-hmm. I didn't like what I started with, and it turns out that's because I didn't make the right choices at character creation. So I wanted something better, and so I tried that out, and then I kind of chased after this thing to unlock it and craft it.
Mm-hmm.
It's been like 2 days, like, trying to grind out materials for it, which again I shouldn't have done. I should have just been unlocking my map.
Mm-hmm.
But I got sort of tunnel visioned in on this one thing, and then realized pretty quick it was like, oh, you don't have enough equipment. You need to unlock more equipment space, which you can do as you level up, and you can do from playing the game. But you can also just slide some cash across the counter. And so I was like real close to doing that.
Yeah. I was giving it a little cash, you know, let's say it was free to play, to do little things here and there. One thing that I remember, one of the surprising things I had, despite how they did something with the weapons, they changed the design of weapons in the middle of the game in one of the updates.
Oh, did they?
Yeah, like one of my favorite melee weapons is the bow staff.
Yeah.
And it used to be a straight stick with some glowy bits on the end.
Yeah.
And then I hadn't played for a while. I come back, and the bow staff I had, now it's like longer with all types of design changes on the thing. It's still the same. It's still the same bow staff, but it looks a heck of a lot different than it is. It looks more technical, more futuristic. Yeah. That's one of the things I noticed, all the designs they're doing there. So it's like constant updating on this thing over and over again. It's probably why we say it's still going strong after all this time.
Yeah, it's still
It came out. Said initial
better than
date
it's ever
was
been.
March of 2013.
Yeah,
when it came out.
Yeah,
and we could have all been playing together. I was playing it. You were playing it, and you were playing it more than any of us.
That was just this year.
Yeah, but
it's been
And the funny thing is, I think I went years with it installed.
Yeah, never touched it. I probably did the same.
I think the first time I installed it was back in like 2013 when Total Biscuit did a thing on it. I'll tell you what did it for me. He was one of the only guys, and this was noteworthy. His passing, I think the devs like made specific, kind of thankful, offered really thankful language to him because he beat the drum for that game real hard early on. And I never did it. I never went into it. And this is weird, and don't misunderstand like maybe the respect I have for some of these people, but I noticed about 6 months ago that a lot of just the various YouTubers that I subscribe to who are typically, I don't know, they're not even maybe of a particular type, but a lot of them are lore based people or, you know, not just like strict gameplay people. They don't just do videos on that. They do like news and update type things of a certain type of game. A couple of them were Destiny guys. I think one of them was a guy that does Elite Dangerous. Another was, I can't remember. But like, I gotta say, like 4 or 5 people I knew. Mm-hmm. I think at a point when whatever their main game was that they were most popular for, it was like kind of in a lull or something, like when Destiny didn't have any new content.
Right,
or
yeah. And that's exactly why I started playing, was I finished this past season. I had gotten to whatever, and they weren't releasing anything new.
Yeah.
And I'd already hit level cap. I didn't want to play Iron Banner. I didn't need the gear from that. There was no exotic chase going on. There was nothing. I was done.
Yeah.
And so I was afforded the time to be like, let's see what else is out there.
Yeah. Well, a lot of these guys who had been really hardcore and into some of these other games kind of around the same time all said, hey, I'm going to like also add another feature on my channel where I talk about Warframe. And not just like, I'm going to put up a bunch of Warframe videos because whatever. It was like lore-based stuff, and it was like examination of the game mechanics. Like, it was a deeper dive type stuff. I was like, why all of a sudden, you know? Like, and I don't know. It was enough people of with different backgrounds and different interests that I said, all right, like, fine, you got me. Whatever, I'll bite this time. I'll legitimately bite.
It's the same thing that happens if I open up my Steam list and I see a bunch of people on my friends list playing the exact same game.
You begin to wonder.
That I don't know about, you know, and then I'm like, let's look into this.
Yeah, what am I missing out on?
Yeah. So anyway, point being, I think it's really well put together. I think it's a bit of a mess for new people. I think it's the kind of thing it's really easy to bounce off of unless you either got somebody to kind of, for lack of a better term, Sherpa you through the early stages of chaos, which the game was really a ton of chaos. It's easy to bounce off the aesthetic, I think, because it's weird looking. You know, it's very much its own thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's got a very difficult to understand meta fandom that's super dedicated and super weird. And none of it makes any sense to a new player because you're not really experiencing the bigger story.
Mm-hmm.
There's some problems with how the story's developed over the years and how it overlaps with the new game experience,
mm-hmm.
but not completely. And it's all acknowledged by the devs. It's all recognized by the community. You got to just burrow through that. You have to drill right through that early stuff until it like can get you.
Mm-hmm.
And once I did, you know, just enough to get in there and get kind of to the meat of it. I felt it. I was like, this is good,
mm-hmm.
you know, and add on top of the fact that it plays incredibly fast, incredibly clean. It runs really, really well. There's a lot of options, a lot of fun things to chase. It's pretty cool. I wish really that I'd picked up on it sooner, but not all that much because it's a fantastic game right now that's doing better, I think, than it ever has. And all signs point to a pretty bright future for it.
Yeah, and in some cases like this, it feels a little bit. It's kind of like you getting a Switch in September. You've waited long enough to where probably the games you want have dropped in price,
mm-hmm.
so you're picking them up. You know, you give it time to simmer and work out the kinks, which a lot of the times we kind of wish we had done with a lot of instead of jumping on them early. Yeah. You kind of wish you'd waited to come in a little later after they had sort of
the back half
ironed everything out, while instead of you trying to finagle everything else to make it work right or to enjoy it in spite of those problems that, you know, if you just waited until they fixed it, you smooth sailing all the way through type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that you don't run into walls of nothing left to do.
Well, you've got so much
to do now.
There's a ridiculous amount of stuff.
It's like when somebody tells you you should really watch this TV show. Is it on Netflix? Yeah, all nine seasons. Yeah, yeah. Go for it.
Like, yeah, and it's and you can still do the same thing that you can with anything else. You can find better vets, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Because I'll go into like I'll go look at the subreddit or I'll go wherever, and people are talking about like I just got to get out of this game. It's the same crap I've been doing for the last 4,700 hours, and I'm like I get it. At 4,700 hours, you're probably over the grind.
Mm-hmm.
I'm down here at like 100. I'm still fine. I'm sure maybe if I stick with it, I'll get somewhere someday where I'm that bitter about it, and that's okay. But I gotta suggest that it's got more to do with the time you've spent, and less to do with the actual game, because I've been there with lots of other games before, so. Mm-hmm. As it is, like I say, I just make another, I make kind of another reach and like, you don't matter. Like if you're interested in something, you'll buy it.
Mm-hmm.
Right. If the new brand new thing is out and I'm like, Scott, we got to play this and it looks like something we got to play, you'll buy it.
Yeah.
I'll buy it. But like, you know, not everybody that we play with has the scratch to kind of like, just, I'm not saying like our people won't buy games, but not everybody will just throw money at the video games to see if it's interesting and then be like, ah, whatever, it's crap.
I remember trying to play co-op Pandora Tomorrow.
Yeah.
In the ways we had to finagle to make that work.
Some things have to happen sometimes. That's why I'm like, hey, nothing.
Free.
Costs you some hard drive space. So, like, this is cool. It's a free-to-play thing that honestly really doesn't smack of free-to-play. You know, not a lot of those. It's got a lot of the trappings in terms of, like, how you spend what you can get for your money.
Does it have hurry up mechanics? I don't like those. Like, hey, this thing regenerates in ever how many hours, you could pay this much.
It does. I hate that. It's really the other way. I haven't seen all of them. I'm assuming there's some I haven't seen.
Yeah, I mean, I'm way early, so I haven't seen
it either. But like in the crafting, you know, mm-hmm. because I got drawn into like, I want to craft this weapon. I got a piece to it, and like, I can actually get to the planets where the bits, you know, the red stuff and the green stuff that I need. And I'm going to craft it. And I get in there and I craft it, and it's like 24 hours, you know. Mm. I got to wait like 20 or 12 or whatever it was, you know. And if you can spend your stuff and like speed that up. But at the same time, like I didn't mind. Like I'd go to bed, I'd start some crafting. By the time I got home from work the next day.
Yeah, it's ready.
It's ready. I'm sure later that becomes tedious and annoying. But yes, there are speed up mechanics.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't, again, personally find them onerous.
Mm-hmm.
Or, again, you don't have to go through and unlock all the pieces of a new frame or a new way. You can go to the shop and buy it.
Yeah.
You can go right over to the cash shop and just have it. But based on everything I've read from reasonable veterans of the game, they're just like, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. You don't need it. You know? You really don't need it until way later. And by the time you get to way later, the unlocking stuff, like the actual farming it, is kind of like what you're going to want to be doing anyway. So, mm-hmm.
It's a bit different in something like that than I would say something like a game I'd be playing on my iPad or my phone or something like that when they have those hurry up mechanics. If I look at the amount of money that I've spent in Destiny, which by the way, I haven't spent any money other than to buy the game. You know,
yeah,
they do have a store in the game. I haven't spent any money on that stuff. In-game stuff, I have not spent money. I've only spent money on the game. So take that and the expansions, add it up, find a total, and say, well, here's what I spent on this. This game is free to play. You know, set that as your budget on what you spend. You know,
fair enough. I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
Not to go immediately into it and spend ever how much I've spent on Destiny, but say when it comes time and say, well, you know, I didn't pay anything for this game, so here's $4 or ever how much. I don't know.
I'd like to unlock some more. I'd like to unlock some more storage space, like which is really like one of the first big things that restricts your options. You know, you get to a point where you're not happy with your storage space after a month or so. Spend a little money on that. I couldn't fault you at all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was looking at AC Wraith. He spent $25 since it arrived on Steam.
okay.
ever how many years ago. He said he just spent it on platinum, which is the currency.
Right.
And he hasn't even spent half of that he bought.
Right.
Yeah.
He's just made more platinum trading than actually buying.
Right.
So
yeah, which you can do. You can set up shops, sell things to people.
Yeah, mm-hmm. shops, markets. I've seen all that during the news of the day, and there's all these shops and everything that people have set up and everything.
Yeah,
like
and you
that,
can go to this place. You can go, and it's got like it's got kind of the old school MMO style thing of players will set themselves with like X item to sell,
mm-hmm.
and their avatar's just sitting there like with an advertisement of what they're trying to sell.
Oh, okay,
kind of thing.
It's the WoW hub or whatever that was.
Yeah, but WoW didn't even do that sort of stuff. Like where it was an automatic thing.
Okay,
but anyway, no, it's
yeah, I remember Phantasy Star Online had something like that.
Yeah.
Shops and things like that. You can go to, I wanted this Black Bull rifle
because
I was a ranger, and it would really help me for what I wanted to do. But I could never find the thing itself. But a lot of people were selling the framework that you could put pieces in and build it yourself. And those were like all over the place. So I just bought like 10 of those and see if I could get those things built, because sometimes you could build something that would fail and it would break. So I could have something
back up
if I wanted to try again. So that was one way of doing it with the shops, and Warframe has that same thing too. Just go if you can't grind it, go maybe someone else in playing will sell it to you.
Well, I was super duper enjoying it. I really was. I didn't even quit because I didn't. Honestly, the only reason I quit playing was because it was getting close to the FF14 X-Pack release, and I was like, oh god, I need to catch up. So I resubbed to that, and that's it. That's the only reason I've been doing that. But I was like, this is really fun, man. I wish my people were playing this with me, because because there is no, like, there's none of that thing where you convince like Kevin or Jeremy or somebody to buy it.
Right. Because I know what you're saying.
And it's like, dude, I know you don't really have a ton of free money right now or whatever, or you're just not interested and you don't have much time, but it's like, look, but buy it anyway. And then they spend $25 on it and we play it for 2 weekends, and then everybody's like, that's crap. I'm going to the next.
Didn't we buy Jeremy a copy of Destiny? Or Kevin. Who did we buy?
I think we bought it for Kevin, maybe. I don't know.
I can't remember. We bought a copy of it for on PC so they could get in and play it.
I wouldn't even think about it being crossplay. I wish it was crossplay, though.
Oh, I think that'd be really awesome.
Is it cross-save? Do they have cross-save in it?
I don't think it's cross-save either. I don't think it is. But
I'm throwing this out here because I'm hoping AC Wraith will come back with a comment.
Yeah.
The quickest way to get the right answer is to say the wrong one.
That's absolutely true. Yeah, but I liked it. And some night or weekend or whatever, when everybody just didn't have some other thing they were working on, it would be fun to kind of get everybody into it, at least up to a functional level, so we could kind of play everything together.
Yeah, we could have been. It's frustrating because we could have been doing this a long time ago.
Yeah.
We could have been doing this a long time ago.
Yeah.
But
again, like I said, from what I can tell, the game is in a better state than it's ever been, and seems to be developing really, really well along lines. I mean, they're constantly talking about. They just had their big con.
Yeah,
the TennoCon.
Yeah, big enough to have its own con. So
That's an indicator. And they make all of their announcements about like their new upcoming content, and it's like it's pushing some of the stuff they've already done even further and doing a better, more open world stuff. It's good stuff going out there. It's nice to have something accessible like that for almost everybody.
The developers for that tried to make another game, and I got to see it, and I don't know if this was in an E3 or a PAX, but it was another free-to-play type game. It was based on like some pulp comics of the 70s, I think, very sci-fi oriented. The mechanic was trading card based, not physical trading cards, but actual with the digital type trading card stuff. Like you would buy a pack of cards, or the drop would be a pack of cards, and these cards would be things that you could place to enhance your character, something like this. I cannot remember the name of this. It failed. They never got out of any kind of beta with the game. It never released. But I can't remember. AC Wraith says there is no cross-save or cross-play. At this point, you can't even migrate. There were limited periods when the game released on other platforms that ended. Essentially, PC gets updated very quickly. The consoles have review periods, as they always have.
Sure. Yeah.
Where they have to go through certification.
That makes a fair amount of sense. There's not nearly as much cross-play out there as there should be. Tip of the hat to Final Fantasy XIV for being able to do that, though. They do a fantastic job of accommodating PC and console players in the same world. And that's not easy to do. But regardless, I'm assuming AC Wraith plays... Well, yeah, he said on Steam. Yeah.
Yeah. The Amazing Eternals is what the game was called.
Oh.
Digital Extremes Amazing Eternals was canceled partly because of the success of Warframe. Partly because of Lawbreakers? This is going way back. A lot of things were... Digital Extremes has plenty of success with Warframe, but the company's planned follow-up, a hero shooter called The Amazing Eternals, never paid it past closed beta. One of them was the fact that Lawbreakers never managed to take off, Lawbreakers being the Cliff Bleszinski game.
Yeah.
Completely like PvP, nothing but PvP.
Futuristic jetpack shooter thing like that.
Yeah, and it had some grapple system in it.
Yeah, something like that.
Gravity thing. I don't know. A lot of things were converging at the same time then, and what we realized was that it was the right game at the wrong time. Hmm. The competitive landscape at the time was pretty hefty. We just saw Lawbreakers not do so great, and it was a fantastic game, so that was sad. That happened right when we were starting our closed beta. This was during the Plains of Eidolon expansion.
Yeah. It was their first like foray into creating open world, open spaces.
Yeah, he said that really blew up and doubled the numbers on Warframe, and suddenly that became the resource hog that we didn't realize. So we weren't seeing the traction we had hoped for in the closed beta, and weighing that against the success of the new expansion, it just made good business sense to pour those resources back into Warframe.
That's smart.
Yeah. It was a hard decision, but it was the right decision at the time. Warframe is now regularly in Steam's top 5 games, with the Railjack release date coming up. Digital Extremes has plenty more in store, but the developers aren't giving up entirely on launching a new game. I think we'll try again, but who knows when, is what they said. So that's what it was. We got to take a break. We're going back to the 3DO, the Sega Saturn, for a game called Off-World Interceptor. The name of this track is called Bastion. We'll be back with more in-game chat after this. Welcome back to Endgame Chat, featuring the music this week of Gary Scheiman, the video game composer. This is from, it's the main theme from Front Mission Evolved. Which I never played, I heard about it a lot, or at least I remember hearing about it, but I never actually played it. We were talking about the money and spending money in games like that, free to play, that sort of thing. And I was reading a post here about Ubisoft, pretty much taking the XP farming missions out of some of the Assassin's Creed Odyssey story creator. Basically, you could create your own story, and some people built XP farms.
Yeah.
To where you could go in there and farm for XP and for your weapons and everything else. And they were cracking down on it. And at first I thought, that sounds legit. You just want to, you know, these people are going in here if they found an exploit and they're using it. But then I went to the Assassin's Creed subreddit, and somebody did the math numbers on the difference of what the amount of time investment needed to fully upgrade a weapon,
mm-hmm.
the amount of what they like to call helix points, to upgrade a weapon, that is stuff that you have to buy. You don't earn that in game. You mm-hmm. buy that from the yeah. Ubisoft. You spend real money to.
Yeah.
Basically, they did the math on it, and to upgrade a sword to full upgrade, whatever. I mm-hmm. don't know what it's called in that game.
Max it out.
Yeah. Given the money you would have to spend in order to do that, mm-hmm. $800.
Yeah.
So that's when I thought, wait a second, now I know why Ubisoft is
yeah,
doing this.
Yeah, I'm about to say, it sounds like same old, same old. We've talked about it, a while back. We talked about forced impatience. The grind is set to be ridiculous to the point where you get to the point where, yeah. man, this is going to take forever.
Yeah, I didn't read up how much time the investment would be to do that, but the money that it would take to do yeah. it was $800.
Yeah,
Ubisoft thinks that a fully upgraded sword in Assassin's Creed Odyssey is worth $800.
Of course they
so
do.
I, you know, then it suddenly dawned on me. Yeah. Okay, now I know why they're pulling this out of here.
Yeah,
because
look, everybody's doing the math nowadays on these games, yeah. man. Everybody's doing the math and seeing how long it takes and what they have to give up to get what they want, and they're not liking the results, and they're putting it out there for everybody to see.
Yeah,
$800, really? No, I don't think so.
I mean, honestly,
play something else.
I think if you're that's probably more related towards console, because if you're on PC, I think you can download trainers for that game
mm-hmm.
and fully upgrade anything you want to and be fine with it
yeah.
Without having to do it. But I think on console, people were finding ways around that. On last week's show, Nate, who I think will be back next week, I'm not sure, he mentioned that Batman was getting another release from Rocksteady, the Arkham Trilogy, and he was absolutely right. They'll include Arkham Asylum, Arkham City, and Arkham Knights. They will not include Arkham Origins. That's the mutant they keep locked in the basement, and we don't talk about him, you know? Which I hate, because I don't know. It belongs into the Arkham universe type thing.
Yeah.
It's just not developed by Rocksteady, and so Rocksteady is, I guess, the ones that they're focusing on. I have no idea why they don't include this when they do these things.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if there's some contract that they had with the developers. I think, doesn't Warner Brothers own that developer anyway? So I don't understand. They own both developers. I don't know why they don't just include it on each one. Or include a download code for it or something if you can't put it all in there. I'm not sure.
It makes sense at all.
Yeah,
all
that comes out in September. It'll include the new... the Return to Arkham stuff, the stuff that's updated or whatever, and it'll include all of the DLC for all of those, plus Arkham Knight and all of its DLC will be included as well. So, I was going to talk about this, and we sort of focused it on in it yesterday when you and I were talking in the chat room about the whole situation with the Ryzen 300s. Or 3000s series having some issues running Destiny. And I originally thought this was on, and we still think it is, on Bungie's end. But
I mean, I can't know for sure, but I haven't run across a single other thing. I haven't heard of a single other application or piece of software
mm-hmm.
that was refusing to run correctly. Mm-hmm. Mostly because there's no real fundamental difference. I mean, there's big differences, but it's not world-changing differences. The third-gen Ryzen stuff will even work on a motherboard designed for a second-gen Ryzen CPU, which is one of the great things about it. They promised, like, it's okay. You buy into, like, you know, this core, and then when Ryzen 3 comes out, you can just put a new chip in, and it's basically true. There's still some firmware stuff getting worked out. Mm-hmm. By different manufacturers and everything, but like, yeah, I don't know. I mean, maybe there may be something there, and maybe like AMD didn't do their due diligence, but nobody else seemed to have a problem. So
due diligence, I can't figure for what on this one.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I don't know if it's there's obviously some changes in architecture, and certainly, I mean, I've watched lots of different tech channels do mm-hmm. their. Do the reviews and their overclocking and the comparisons and yada yada yada. I've spent the last week watching that.
Well, you're looking into getting one, right?
Yeah, probably. I mean, I have a second gen Ryzen, which has done me really, really good. That is an amazing amount of AMD's like killing. They're absolutely killing it, you know. First gen, pretty good for affordable, decent builds. Second gen, really, really strong contenders for, you know, to stand up against Intel. They cut the gap, the performance gap that Intel maintained in single core clock dependent applications like straight gaming. But with the third gen stuff, they're eating Intel's lunch right now, is really the only way to put it. So, and I mean, Intel's not irrelevant, and they still maintain a very, very, very small performance lead on their very top end chips.
Well, I mean,
which just isn't enough to justify a lot of the costs.
I was going next. Was like, you know what? I'm not necessarily looking at performances. I'm looking price to performance value.
And the minute, but also the very minute you do a single productivity type task of any sort, Intel loses its edge because Ryzen is doing so incredibly well. They also use far less power, generate far less heat, so you're getting much more performance with much less power draw. Really about the only thing that's happened is that the basic architecture's gotten more efficient, and really what you've lost is some overclocking overhead. There's just really, on the third gen Ryzen, there's not a ton of overhead for the overclocking. You might as well get an X chip and don't bother overclocking it. You're going to be fine. You're not losing anything. Get a non-X chip, overclock it up to the X performance, which is, you know, maybe a 15% margin or something like that. Depends on the boost and all this other stuff. Doesn't matter. Out of the box performance, fantastic. They still come with a frankly pretty decent cooler, you know. Aftermarket cooler is not a bad idea, but Intel's not even shipping coolers anymore.
Yeah,
so
I didn't know that.
They're just shipping the chip. So
I have not.
I didn't know that.
I haven't.
No, they quit doing that.
Goes back to your when we were talking about Switch a minute ago. I say a couple hours ago. That whole sort of living in the bubble thing of like, this doesn't apply to me, so I'm not paying attention to it. Mm-hmm. I haven't been in the market for a chip in ever how
what
long.
Do you run? Do you even remember what your core is?
It's an i7-3770.
Okay. You could stand to have an upgrade.
Yeah. Which is why I'm sort of, you know, looking at this. What you had mentioned last night was the fact that the AMD chips, third gen, can work on the Gen 2 motherboard.
I have a B450.
I've never upgraded a chipset without having to say, let's start from scratch again.
It used to be a lot more common, but again, we're reaching back to something close to 20 years ago. Don't get me wrong. I think maybe the last time anybody did it was, I think if you didn't want to go up to a quad core chip, if you were still running like a lot of people that were running the Core 2 Duos, onto 10 or so years ago.
Yeah.
You could, if you didn't want to change your old platform, you could throw a Core 2 quad onto the same board. And a number of people would kind of do that to buy a little more time. But you really weren't jumping up to another generation of chip. You were just jumping up to a better chip in the same generation, more or less.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not been very common. It hasn't been common for a long time. And it was a big selling point of the third-gen Ryzens, is that you would be able to either keep your mid-range board from a second-gen build, which is what I'll probably do. I have a 2600 that's overclocked, you know, fairly well, without even aftermarket cooling, by the way. Like, it runs up at, you know, around 4 gigahertz without boost. And I'll probably go up to a 3600, because by all accounts and reviews and everything, it is absolutely... It's not even the price performance leader. It is the price performance leader, but it is also itself just an incredibly good chip, just an exceptionally, exceptionally good processor. It's like $200. So I'll probably do that. I'll grab one of those, slap it in, and then maybe go shopping for another cheap board. And, you know, next thing you know, got another PC. it's a really, really good thing for their market. It makes it easier for people to move up. You don't got to buy new RAM. You don't got to buy a new board. That cuts $250 to $300 out of your upgrade.
Significantly.
Yeah.
That's one of the reasons I'm really not too enthusiastic about looking into that, because I realize that looking at the chip is also means looking at a new board, looking at new RAM.
Yeah, it's not bad. My core, I did my whole core. I got a B450 Tomahawk, the MSI board. I only at the time only did 16 gigs of RAM, and then the processor for, I don't know, 450, mm-hmm. you know, all in. Mostly because RAM prices haven't been amazing.
No, they haven't.
They're okay, but they're not. I don't know. They're not as bad. They're certainly not as bad as they've been in the past. Things are like way better than they are right now. Hmm. The GPU market isn't torn to shreds because of the money miners, the Bitcoin miners and stuff.
Right. Yeah.
Which ruined things for like a year and a half.
It did.
2 years. So that market's fine. Particularly when you consider that NVIDIA just essentially re-released all three of their 2000 series with the Super
mm-hmm.
version at the same cost.
Yeah.
Which, that's really, really nice. AMD could stand to catch up a little bit on the GPU market. They're still lagging behind there. But all things being equal, I would rather see them competitive in the CPU market. What they're doing there is just, I mean, it's just amazing. Mm-hmm. Really, really great, affordable processors that do incredible work, have no significant disadvantage compared to Intel chips. It's measurable. It's non-zero, and it's measurable. But, man, it just is not significant. And at extremely, extremely good prices. So it's just killer time. Killer time to do an upgrade. Killer time to get back into PC gaming if you've been out of it for a while. Killer time to get into it for the first time if you've never been. Like, and again, at this point, if you've got money to burn and you just absolutely have to have it and you will never do anything other than play a video game, and I mean nothing,
you know,
fine. Go buy your Intel chip. And that's fine. Nobody's saying that you shouldn't or that it's bad. It's just awfully hard to look away from what AMD's offering right now.
It's like mine is just Intel, but like I said, I don't update my PC for like 6-7 years.
Yeah.
So
I mean, I've been running. When I upgraded, I was still running a 2500K,
mm-hmm.
and that chip came out in 2011.
Mm-hmm.
That was a long time. Yeah. Like, that was a really long time.
I'm of the mindset, if it still works, keep running it till it...
Yeah,
till
I don't know about that, though, man. That was the problem with that chip, is that it wouldn't die. It kept going and kept going and kept going. And I got somewhere right around the top of the year, and I was trying to play... I bought, like, whatever the most recent Tomb Raider was on sale. And I just... It was garbage. It was garbage.
Really? Shadow of the Tomb Raider?
No, I mean, the game was fine. I mean, the performance, I just couldn't.
No. I meant Shadow of the Tomb Raider, so that recent, because that feels pretty recent.
Yeah. That was a year ago.
You, like, maxing out all the resolution and stats and everything of it. If you can't do that, it's like...
I couldn't maintain 30 frames in some of the open areas. It was really bad.
And now he can't get Hitman going.
Mostly I did.
Okay.
Mostly I did. I think that was a different thing. I think it was related to... I closed everything on my computer that I possibly could that was generating an overlay. Discord, the Steam overlay, anything that generated an overlay, because I've known in the past that caused a problem.
It messes with stuff,
occasionally some games have issues with it. Closed all that stuff, ran the game for like 3.5 hours, no problem, right after the last week's show. And I was like, got it solved, licked that problem. Loaded up the next day, did the same thing, killed everything, closed everything that could generate an overlay, crash on me every 5 minutes. So I don't know.
Okay. Back to square one.
My only answer is Games Haunted.
Yeah, Games Haunted. Thanks, everybody, for joining us in the chat room and listening on the stream and on the radio. We want to thank everybody who gets us each week from iTunes and however you get our show for later use. We appreciate it. Go to ingamechat.net. Join us on Twitter, Facebook, our YouTube channel. We're on Steam. You're watching us on Twitch. Subscribe. We've got a Discord and everything else. And... all sorts of stuff out there for us. So you'll find us. If it's in-game chat, it's likely us. So thanks, everybody. Have a great week. We will see you next Saturday. This is music. It's the main theme for Full Spectrum Warrior, the Ten Hammers expansion, I believe, is what this is from. So we'll see you next week.